Life Audio.
Faith Over Fear is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Faith Over Fear podcast, where we tackle our most pervasive fears with truth. Because life is too short for any of us to live enslaved. We would love to connect with you online. Just visit our show notes to learn how to connect with us. I'm Jennifer Slattery.
And I'm Ava Pennington.
And I've had times where I felt unseen, unheard, and unnoticed by God, where I've been crying out to him for an answer, or maybe for him to fix what feels like a major problem, to give me direction for a major decision, only to receive what felt like divine silence. And in those moments, I'm tempted to think that because I can't feel God, or maybe don't hear him, that he's not hearing me. And then I'm tempted to think that I am forced to face my problems alone, as if, in essence, God was inattentive to me and my pain, my challenges, and my prayers. And I know I'm not alone in this, because we've received emails from some of you that have maybe worded it differently, but have expressed the same fears. And we understand.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember when I first became a Christian, I was taught that I can pray to God and that he would hear me. But I was intimidated by how beautifully other people prayed. And it wasn't just their eloquence. It was their absolute assurance that God not only heard, but he would respond to meet their needs. And I was convinced I could never, ever pray like that, that I would never have that confidence. And it took me a while to learn that first, I'm speaking to God in prayer, so there's no need to feel self-conscious about eloquence. But second, not only does God invite me into intimate conversation with him, but I can do so confidently because he does hear me, regardless of my eloquence or my lack of it, or even my doubts when he seems to be silent. That doesn't change who he is. And once I learned that, oh my goodness, it made such a difference in my life.
I like what you said, doesn't change who he is. And I think that's where our confidence and trust really rests, is in understanding that God is our Father and we are his children. And that's one thing that Jesus just, he really seemed to bring home again and again, but especially throughout Matthew chapter 6. So prior to this, a bunch of crowds were following him. He went up on a mountain, he sat down, and he began to teach them. And he taught them what scholars often call the Beatitudes, which basically was him shifting his listeners from rote obedience, from prideful self-elevation, to really focusing on behaviors that came from the heart. And he began by telling them not to give or to pray in order to receive human praise, but instead to make our behavior between us and God, to remember that our faith is all about our relationship with God, that he is our Father who sees everything we do in public and everything we do in secret, along with our motives. And he's the God who loves us deeply and who knows our needs, the God we are completely dependent on for everything and who responds to our dependence in faithfulness and love.
Absolutely. I love that in Matthew 6, he continues with this theme of recognizing who he is and who we are in relationship to him. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5-8, Jesus said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him."
And that's so comforting. And I love just all of the times, not just in Matthew 6, but throughout scripture, where Jesus referred to God not just as his Father, but as our Father as well. And I discussed this in episode 54, titled "The Faith Bolstering Power of the Lord's Prayer." So if you haven't listened to that, I encourage you to go back and do so. But I think it's super important that we understand our position in Christ. Like we said earlier, that we are deeply loved children of God, and that God loves us with a perfect love.
And that's so hard sometimes to relate to, because our earthly relationships are not perfect. And some of us have been hurt by people that we've loved who haven't loved us well. And let's face it, we don't always love well. And so that tends to color our perspective of who God is in our relationship with Him. And there are so many times in my life I've had to go back and remind myself, God is my heavenly Father, but emphasis on heavenly, that He's not going to be like an earthly relationship. And there's such comfort and assurance in that, and safety in that, to know that when we speak to Him, it all flows from that relationship.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
When I was really kind of struggling to understand God's love, I was captivated by some of the things Jesus said on the night before He died. And so He said that His Father loved us as much as God the Father loves God the Son. And that just, that blew my mind, because sometimes I can devalue myself, or I can think of all these reasons why I, you know, God shouldn't listen to me. But regardless, because God loves me and is as attentive to me as He was to His perfect holy Son. And He said in John 17, 23, that the world would know that God sent Him and that He loved us even as He has loved Jesus. And so there are numerous times where He said that, but for me, it helps to shift my thinking and take it off of holy God loving imperfect Jennifer Slattery, as true as that is, and as important it is to understand, you know, that we are approaching a holy God, but holy God loving holy Son, and then transferring that He loves me in the same manner, that kind of helps me grasp a little a really hard to understand concept.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that you said that, because the first time I read that verse that said that He, you know, basically He loves us as much as He loves His Son, there was a part of me that said that that can't be, that can't be. It's, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus is God. He's perfect. He's as holy and as much God as the Father. How could He possibly love me when I don't even come close to that? And it's just a reminder that everything about our relationship with Him is dependent on who He is, not on who I am. And, you know, there are times when I'll fall into that trap of making it all about me. I am sinful. I am frail. I am faulty. Therefore, God couldn't possibly love me. And then I have to remind myself, and it's got to be an intentional thing, or at least for me, it's intentional, that I have to literally grab myself and say, stop those thoughts, because this relationship is not dependent on me. It's dependent on God's character. He is who He says He is. And if He says He loves me, I'm going to take Him at His word. And if He says He hears me when I approach Him, as messed up as I can be sometimes, I've got to take Him at His word for that too.
Absolutely. And we can't base our relationship on God based on our emotions. Like sometimes we can think, because I don't hear Him, because I don't feel Him. And there can be so many reasons that maybe our hearing is challenged, or maybe, you know, we don't sense God's presence. But truth isn't based on our perception and based on really even our experiences. It's based on the holy word of God. And like you said, God is true. So we either believe that he was telling the truth, or what's the converse, that we're thinking that he was a liar. And I think sometimes if we can kind of bring it back to, like, what are our fears and interpretations saying about the character and nature of God? And does that even make sense?
Well, and I mean, this is not a new problem. Think about going all the way back to Genesis, when Satan tried to tell Eve that God wasn't being, you know, good to her, and he was holding back from her. And, you know, there's this lie that we're so prone to believe that based on what we see, we question who God is, rather than filtering everything we see through who God is. You know, it's kind of the reverse. We look at our circumstances and then we filter who God is through our circumstances instead of filtering our circumstances through who God is. And that includes looking at my relationship with him and knowing that he not just loves me, but hears me regardless of what it looks like at the moment.
Absolutely. And I also love what Jesus said when he's just talking about our prayers. He said that God already knows what we need before we ask him. And one of my favorite ways to pray, which maybe isn't even a way to pray, but a lot of times I just sit in his presence because I know he is going to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. I know he's already working on my behalf. I know he's performing his will in my life and in other people's lives. And so I do pray for specific needs, largely out of obedience. I do so knowing, like, okay, God, you already know all of this and you already have a solution. And so really the prayer shifts to, I am just connecting with my Father. He is aligning my heart with his, and he's filling me with his love and assurance.
And I think so many times in my life, I've missed the point that prayer is not so much about changing God as it is about changing me. And part of the process in changing me is sitting in his presence and just trusting him and surrendering to him. That makes such a difference.
Yeah. And I think there's some when we're struggling with that, and I think those who have anxiety are going to struggle, especially. My daughter had phrased it in a way where her thoughts are just so loud. She's doing really well now, but when she was really struggling, she said her thoughts were so loud, she couldn't hear anything outside of them. And that included really at times hearing God. And so she had to hold tight to certain truths. And there's promises throughout scripture where God said, so Isaiah 65, verse 24, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then in Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who cry out to him, all who cry out to him sincerely. And so I think kind of like what you said, Ava, not just filtering our perceptions and experiences through God's character, which we discover by reading scripture, but also through the truths and the promises that he's given us throughout scripture as well.
Yeah. As you were speaking, I thought of Hebrews 4:16, which says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that word confidence just jumps out at me, that I can enter the throne room of God confidently because he's my Father, because he has initiated this relationship, and I can find mercy and grace and everything I need because he knows what I need before I ask.
Absolutely. And when I was really struggling to understand grace, a big part of my difficulty in really trusting God to hear me and to care for me had to do with because I was filtering my relationship with him through my past. And so I was carrying all this guilt and shame and condemnation. And there's a passage in scripture I love that shows us even when we quote unquote blow it, that God is still merciful and good and he still hears us. And I'll just kind of paraphrase briefly, but it was a king in Old Testament times. His name was Hezekiah. And Isaiah had basically warned the nation, don't turn to Egypt. Don't turn to your own wisdom. Rest and rely on God. He is your salvation. And King Hezekiah, he went through all of these ways trying to basically, Assyria was a dominant world power and was coming to raid Israel. And King Hezekiah initially turned to human resources and human wisdom. And it was a mess. Like he ended up Assyria began gaining dominance in Israel, and all that was left was Jerusalem. And it was at that point that King Hezekiah turned to God in prayer, and God immediately heard him and immediately responded. And that passage gives me comfort for those times when I'm like, you know what? I knew I was supposed to be in Bible study this past semester, and I wasn't. So therefore, I have no right to pray. Or when I'm tempted to think, you know, I knew I was supposed to love my husband well this past week, and I was really kind of living in rebellion to God. And this passage reminds me, the minute I turn towards Jesus and seek him, like that verse says, and we seek him sincerely, he does hear me. He doesn't hold grudges.
Well, not only does he not hold grudges, but if you think about it, if we didn't mess up, we wouldn't need his mercy and grace. So, and when I think, oh, I've messed up, so I don't have a right to come, or, you know, I don't have a right to come asking for it. Well, the whole point of grace is that, yeah, I don't have the right to ask for it, but it's the fact that I messed up is why I need it. And of course, we don't want to mess up intentionally so we can get God's grace and mercy, but that just gives us the comfort that it's okay, that our Father loves us, and that maybe our behavior wasn't okay, but because of his love and his mercy, he's still going to hear us. He's still going to welcome us into his presence. And it's, again, as we said earlier, it doesn't change who he is. He's still going to know what we need before we need it.
Absolutely. Ava, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Heavenly Father, and I just have to stop and say, Father, Heavenly Father, we get to call you Father. And with that relationship comes the knowledge and the assurance that you hear us when we pray. We can trust that truth because it's who you are. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in relationship with you. We thank you that you are the one who does hear and does know our needs before you do know our needs before we even speak them. That gives us such confidence, Lord. Confidence to come into your presence, confidence to live each day with our focus on you and not our circumstances. Thank you for that. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening. I would encourage you just really spend maybe even the next week just looking in scripture at all the times when God is addressed as your Father. And let this just be an invitation to you to get to know him better, to get to know his character better, and then to find assurance and peace in that. If you haven't already done so, we would encourage you to subscribe to this podcast, and then you won't miss a single episode. Share it with your friends and make sure to rate it. That encourages us and it helps others to find it. Until next time, may you live as one who truly has been set free.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Faith Over Fear, a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. To learn more about Jennifer Slattery or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, jenniferslatterylivesoutloud.com, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and edited by Stephen Sanders. A special thanks to our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey. For more Faith Toolkit podcasts like this, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? I mean, you are called by God, and aren't we all praying the big prayer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? So if we put two and two together, you've got a message to deliver, my friend. Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, art to make, or businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. I use my mic like a machete, so if you don't like to get your toes stepped on or pushed off cliffs to finally jump on in with Jesus, I may be too much for you. But if you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com today.